Welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, casual conversation with noted experts on anything and everything related to our fine four-legged friends. I'm Joanne Green, and my guest on this episode of Good Dog is Dr. Ian Dunbar, the world's leading authority on puppy training and behavior. Dr. Dunbar is a veterinarian, animal behaviorist, and writer, the original creator of off-leash puppy classes, and the author of numerous books, including Before and After Getting Your Puppy. Ian Dunbar teaches pet owners, both for their own sanity and for the well-being of dogs.
25 years ago, I guess it was kind of sad for dogs that most of the training was based on like methodology, like, you know, you did this with this hand and you pull the dog here and push him there. And it wasn't science-based with principles. And, you know, the poor old dog comes into the human household and he hasn't got a clue how humans live, so he acts like a dog. You know, he barks, he chews, he digs, he pees, he poops.
And then he gets yelled at for doing those things. Exactly.
Yeah, and the poor old dog, you know, ends up breaking rules he didn't know existed, but the owner has no idea how to communicate to him. You know, they could say, oh, please don't chew that, but of course the dog doesn't speak English. And so I developed a training style, which basically was a way to teach dogs ESL, English as a second language. And so now we could communicate to them, so at least they knew what we wanted them to do. And then a big part of the program, of course, was then teaching the dogs to want to do what we want them to do. I mean, that to me is what training is all about, whether we're training dogs, horses, or children, or husbands.
I was just going to say there are a lot of similarities here, how we raise kids, and also the evolution of how it was at one time, you know, very strict, you do as I say, period, little children should be seen and not heard, all of that. And then we eventually move into threats and bribes, right?
Sadly, yeah, I mean, threats and bribes to me, you know, really don't have much of a place in education because as politicians and parents will tell you, they don't work. A threat will usually produce the opposite behavior.
I was saying that tongue in cheek, but of course you're absolutely right. A child will go, well, is he really going to follow through? Let's just see.
Yeah, and then when someone talks about bribing, it says that they really don't understand the training process. And again, just a tiny part of the training process is to teach the dog how we would like him or her to act. But 95% of it is teaching the dog or the child or the husband to want to act that way. And that's where we then realize that training is consequence-based. I mean, it all comes down to rewarding the dog. And that's very different from bribing. You know, in bribing, the prize, if you like, is promised up front, usually to coerce the animal to act against its will. Whereas in reward, the reward comes totally by surprise after the animal has done something that you want. And rewarding is just so powerful, the animal cannot fight it. They just now think, wow, you know, I love sitting. It's so cool to sit. Every time I sit, my owner throws a tennis ball. They ask me on the couch for a tummy rub. They serve me dinner. They open doors for me. They take me for car rides. So now the dog says, I love sitting. And now the dog's happy and the owner's happy.
It's a win-win situation. We have to learn from this. I'm sure there are applications all over our lives, right?
You say it sort of, you know, with laughter, but to me that's what it's all about. That I love dogs, obviously, and dog training is a huge part of my life, but it's what dogs have taught me, or the process of training dogs, rather, has taught me about how we should train generally. And this to me, I guess, is the biggest sadness in the world, that most people haven't got a clue how to train children or their boyfriend or husband, and so they end up getting annoyed and getting annoyed about what should be the most beautiful and valuable relationships in their lives. So, you know, when you've trained a puppy, I mean, a husband's a piece of cake. Let's face it, you know.
It is so true. Dr. Dunbar, what are some of the most common mistakes that people make in training or not training their dogs?
I think, well, there's two. I mean, without a doubt, the number one biggest mistake is that owners are blind to things that are good, whether it be good behavior in the dog or just good things in their lives, and they take the good for granted, and they just wait for something to go wrong, then they start moaning and groaning. So, for example, you know, a dog or a child could be quiet, you know, all evening long, and then they start to act up, and that's quiet, lay down, be quiet. And so what that does is it accentuates the bad behavior and leaves the good behavior totally unrewarded. So that's the number one biggest mistake by far. The number two mistake is they let bad behavior just go by. And you shouldn't. It needs to be corrected. And if a dog is, like, goosing you when you're carrying groceries in from the car, you say, hey, excuse me, thank you, don't touch. Or sit down, please, be quiet. I mean, they need direction. A dog cannot be 100% perfect, and they will make honest mistakes, they will make intentional mistakes, and that's when we need to say, in a very calm, insistent way, no, I want you to sit now. No, I don't want you running off after the squirrel, I want you sitting. And then never giving up until the dog sits. And that's a very hard thing for people to do because they think, oh, the dog's being naughty, he's being dominant, we must punish him. Well, you know, that usually sends the relationship downhill if the owner can punish the dog in a timely fashion anyway, which is, you know, usually very, very doubtful. So the dog learns nothing about the behavior or the owner's wishes. The dog just learns, you know, I don't like training and I don't like the trainer who happens to be the dog's human companion.
Gotcha. Now, we have that old adage, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I have to believe that there is some truth to the notion that it's easier to train a puppy than to train a dog who's already been engaging in these less than desirable behaviors day in and day out, right?
Well, you can train a dog at any age. It's just that with two things that we need to teach, we need to socialize the dog to people, especially men, children, strangers, and to get the dog to not just tolerate, but to thoroughly enjoy, you know, people's presence and actions. And we need to teach the dog bite inhibition. And from a practical viewpoint, these can really only be done in puppyhood. It's not to say that we can't take an adult dog that doesn't like people and he's biting and breaking the skin and retrain him. We can, but it's time-consuming and potentially very dangerous. Whereas to train a puppy to like people is easy and fun, and to teach a puppy bite inhibition is easy and fun. And these are the two most important, you know, qualities in a dog, and they basically should be taught before the dog is 3 or 4 months old. And another way to look at it in terms of things like behavior problems, again, you can house train or chew toy train a dog any time in his life, but it's really dumb to wait. I mean, you know, it's so easy to train puppies, so why don't we just teach the puppy good habits from the outset? And that's when we find that good habits are just as hard to break as bad habits. And that, to me, is just nuts, the smarter way to go.
Well, if, in fact, by their very nature, dogs chew and bark and bite and pee and all of that, how do we get that behavior to shift over to what we call good socialization for living in a house with humans?
Well, you know, we take one at a time, let's say house training. We've got a 10-year-old Yorkie that pees on our bed. And we say, well, number one, we're going to manage the problem. You're not going to have access to the bed again until you're house trained. And so when we are away from home, we keep the dog in an area where if he does pee, it won't cause any harm, like, you know, the kitchen or scullery or closet or what have you, with a dog toilet in there. When we are at home, and this is the secret, we then closely confine the dog, either in a dog crate, or we put him on leash and tie the leash to our belt, or tie the leash to, you know, say an eye hook in the baseboard near his bed. And then once an hour, we take him to his doggy toilet. Well, now we know he wants to go. So we tell him to go, we say, go pee. He then urinates, and then we give him 3 liver treats. And within about 5 to 6 days, you've now trained the dog not only to go on cue, but to want to go on cue. You know, he's learned now, well, you know, hey, I can cash in my urine for liver treats. I mean, I would be a fool wasting this valuable commodity in the course of the day by peeing in the kitchen.
Really? And, why pee for nothing?
Yeah, so now the dog wants to save up his pee so he can, you know, express it when the owner comes home and cash in his rewards. At that point, then the dog can be given full run of the house again.
Hey, by the way, what's a dog toilet?
a doggy toilet. I mean, well, indoor, outdoor, it depends on, you know, the person's setup. I like a well-defined space, whether the dog's going in your garden, on public property, or in your house. So if he's going on public property, the smart thing to do is to put him on leash, take him out for a walk, but you go nowhere. You say, right, pee and poop. When you pee and poop, I can clear it up. Then we will walk as a reward for doing it. And that way then the dog will be using right outside your house or, say, your apartment building as a toilet place. And this becomes such habit for dogs. They really like to pee and poop in the same places every day. In the garden, I would just set aside a small little area, 2 square yards, and we take the dog there. And when he does it, we sort of reward him on a differential reinforcement. So if he hits ground zero, he gets 3 liver treats and a kiss. If he's within a couple of yards, he gets 1 liver treat. If he does it outside, he gets a piece of kibble. Well, soon the dog realizes, you know, you'd be really smart to do it in this toilet, which means now you don't have poop and pee all over the garden, you know, killing your plants or waiting for you to step in. In the house, I generally say, you know, get a kitty litter box and put a roll of turf in it. And that's really good, and you change the turf once a week, and it soaks up the urine, which is good, because then the dog wants to pee there again, and you can easily remove the feces. So the type of toilet really depends on the owner and dog's living situation.
Is there any difference between males and females in this regard? I'd always had male dogs until recently, and now we have Lulu. And the male dogs lift their leg and mark their territory all along the walk, and they seem to have an endless supply of urine, whereas we take our female dog, Lulu, for a walk, and she may urinate once in a whole walk.
Yeah, there's huge differences, mainly in the frequency of urination, that both male and female dogs mark with their urine. This is the way they communicate. You know, it's their, like, canine p-male, if you like. And but male dogs do it much, much more frequently. But the wonderful thing about urination and defecation is, you know, there's only so much urine and feces to go around. So what we do is we say to the dog, do you want to go pee? We take him out to his toilet on leash, and then we say, all right, pee. If you want to go on a walk, pee. And if he has a nice long stream, he gets 5 liver treats and lots of praise. If it's a tiny stream, we say, hey, you know, thank you, but we need some more now. Well, once he's had a couple of really big pees in his toilet, he may be hiking his leg, but if you look, it's only dribbles or drips that come out. And this is not going to damage your garden or other people's gardens when you walk your dog.
This information has been out there for a long time. Why are people so reluctant or feel so overwhelmed, like these problems are insurmountable and they can't possibly teach their dog to stop jumping up on guests or whatever the offending behavior is?
It's so much that people are resistant. I think that although the information has been out there for 25, 30 years, people just don't know about it. I mean, you can see this from, you know, watching pet owners on TV or watching dog training programs on TV, and you realize that the level of information is usually, number one, it's not very effective, and number two, it's not delivered in a way that's appropriate for pet owners. And so I think pet owners don't realize how easy all of this stuff is. And we've actually, my latest venture is we've just designed the doggy website to end all website. It's called Dogstar Daily. And this provides just hours and hours of free information for pet owners, little short video clips, how to teach your dog to do anything. And I think it will cause quite a stir because although at the moment pet dog trainers, say, you know, a CPDT certified pet dog trainer will know this stuff, the general public doesn't. And as soon as the general public realizes, oh my God, it is so easy to teach dogs to be friendly with people, with dogs, to house train them, to chew toy train them, to teach them to come when called, to sit, to lie down, to be quiet, then they're going to start training their dogs because it's not just easy, it's also a lot of fun. I mean, you know, I feel sad here for owners. I mean, I really think they have been royally screwed over by pet professionals, including myself, that we have the answers to their problems, but we haven't as yet efficiently disseminated this information.
I don't think the trainers are going to be very happy with you if you give away all the trade secrets.
I think they're going to be very happy that you know, everyone cares about dogs, and that there will still be problems. They will still, pet owners will still need help, but most importantly, pet owners will still want to go to training classes because this is so much fun. And, strangely enough, going to a training class is much more fun when you're not dealing with behavior problems. You know, that's kind of a bummer. It's a negative thing. Now we're going to training class because we want to teach the dog circus tricks. We want to teach the dog, say, a discriminated retrieve, how to retrieve our, how to find and retrieve our car keys and the remote control for the TV. And now owners think, wow, this is so much fun going to class. So I don't think trainers will be upset at all. I think trainers will be delighted that now they're going to have much bigger classes, many more people in classes, and much better dogs and owners in classes. Because there is some, I think, resistance in the public mind that they think training is a drag, and they don't want to go to class. Now they're going to realize, hey, they've got a dog, and this is their night out, and they are just, they're going to howl. I mean, it's going to be so funny, so enjoyable.
Oh, I think anyone that's gone to a class with a dog knows how much fun it is. I certainly have. I mean, it's wonderful. It's bonding time, and the dogs learn, and they learn so quickly.
But again, that's once you've gone to the class, you see, and the owners at present don't know that because, you know, there still are some, you know, books out there. In fact, most of the books which sell in the major bookstore chains are old books which really write about very laborious and boring ways to train a dog. And this is the general public's view. And I think this will be the wonderful thing about the website, that it will internationally, it will show whatever your problem. Okay, you know, there's one clip of a dog that bites his owner, and we make the dog better within like 5 minutes. And that's owners want that information, and it needs to be disseminated in a much broader fashion.
Dr. Ian Dunbar, who is the man behind DogStarDaily.com, and also the author of many books, right?
There's three books out there. There's Before You Get Your Puppy, After You Get Your Puppy, and then New World Library has published Before and After You Get Your Puppy as a hard copy. And we offer the book in several formats because, you know, people are different. Some people want to shelve out the money for a hard copy book, and I certainly appreciate that. I love the edition that New World Library has put out there. Other people don't, and so James and Kenneth Publishers split the books into two, and the Before You Get the Puppy book, which I consider is such valuable information that the publishers actually make it available for free to any pet owner that wants it. It's, again, that is available from DogStarDaily.com, and they can read the book online or download the book for free. And the publishers, James and Kenneth, the publishers came to me and said, could we give this book away for free? I'm thinking, I wrote the book and you want to give it away for free. But I thought about it and I thought, yeah, you know, that information is so important, I don't actually feel good about making people pay for it because it tells owners what they need to know, obviously, before they get the puppy, so they don't make the same mistakes that owners have made over and over and over and over. And they get a puppy at 8 weeks, and already this puppy is so developmentally retarded that it's ridiculous. They're going to be playing catch-up for the dog's life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ian Dunbar.
Thank you.
I'm Joanne Green, and if you have any questions or would like to send me feedback, I would love to hear from you. Just send an email to gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.